Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass with pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and that's the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자, 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자, 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자, 그런 반전 있는 여자. 나는 선호해. 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선호해. 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선호해. 밤이 오면 심장이 터져버리는 선호해.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the WTR Raw Post Show, the one-year anniversary of this show. How about that? 1 year. And think our crazy opening was, sort of sounded like this, kind of. Anyway, I'm Sorokin, joined, as always, by Mace and Lindsay Ward, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented in part by PWMania.com, and I'm told to keep this song going. I don't know why, but... He can jump.
It's catchy.
Because I'm dancing to it, man.
Go if you actually want to know what this music is. It's actually a song called Gangnam Style, done by a Korean artist called Psy. PSY. Go look it up on YouTube. The dance this dude does is absolutely hilarious. That's the only reason why I wanted to keep the music running, so I could actually explain what the hell it was. Because, yeah, I'm quite sure a lot of people here wouldn't exactly jump up and down knowing what Korean pop music is like or anything like that. And for once, it's actually Korea exporting what the fuck instead of Japan.
So, this is our beginning of the week of torture?
No, that begins tomorrow night.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't like that laugh.
That was a really creepy laugh, so we're screwed. Yeah, you'll hear all about the week of torture in about 3 weeks on WTRFs, just pointing that out.
Oh, come on, we'll give them a nice little sample now. When Rock finally gets around to posting them, there will be 5 straight clips, otherwise known as The Week WTR Riffs Goes to Japan. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
And you'll know when we make them, because Mace will be dead afterwards.
Oh, please, if you didn't kill me after the kennel from hell, you aren't going to kill me over this.
The urge to resist is fading fast, man. 5 more minutes of that, and it would have been through the Skype in Australia. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, let's get to what we're watching tonight.
Tonight, it was an interesting night. Tonight on Monday Night Raw, tonight is the night for interesting stuff, because it started off with Michael Cole starting to read Jerry Lawler's tweet, but Lawler wanted no part of it, so he went right to the ring to address one CM Punk. He decided last week that out of the respect for the WWE Championship, he should apologize for what happened. He said he did that last week and was rewarded with a kick to the back of the head. So this week, Jerry Lawler wants an apology from CM Punk. Well, instead of getting an apology, he basically got a pipe bomb.
You want the WWE Champion to apologize for doing his job? On the 1,000th episode of Raw, you said, and I quote, CM Punk is... just turned his back on the WWE Universe. Because I justifiably beat the crap out of The Rock. And I say justifiably because he showed me a gross lack of respect. And then you somehow want to sit in your little chair and paint me as a bad guy? I'm not a bad guy. And I didn't turn my back on anybody. You, Jerry Lawler, turned your back on the WWE Universe when you slandered its beloved champion. And it's because of your lack of respect that I kicked you in your stupid head. Okay, don't get it twisted. I didn't attack you from behind. I didn't ambush you. I didn't kick you in the back of your head. You tried to leave my ring and you pushed me out of the way and then you got socked in the head. That's what I do. I will put down anybody who shows me disrespect. As far as your apology goes, I'm a man. I'll apologize in front of the world. I am sorry, Jerry Lawler. I'm sorry that all it takes to get in the WWE Hall of Fame is to beat a bunch of nobodies from Memphis, to get into a slap fight with a Hollywood comedian, to act like a juvenile, infantile 14-year-old for your entire 23-year career here in the WWE. I'm sorry that your jealousy and lack of respect for me stems from never being WWE champion yourself. And I'm sorry that when you finally got your big WrestleMania moment, you couldn't beat Michael Cole. I'm sorry I'm raising my voice right now, and I'm sorry that you've become the WWE's circus seal, ready to regurgitate and repeat any stupid opinion that's barked into your ear. Most of all, I'm sorry about the man you've become. Are you upset? Did that upset you? Did I touch a nerve? You look like you want to fight. You want to fight me, Jerry Lawler? You're just a commentator. I'm the best in the world. And everybody here knows, because they paid to see me, that I would embarrass you.
He also said that at the end of the night, Lawler would leave embarrassed if he did accept or he didn't accept the fight tonight on Monday Night Raw. Thoughts?
Great, great, great opening promo.
Is the truth speaker strikes once again?
Except for his hair, it was perfect.
Right, what happened now, man?
Just let her rant. Go forth, Lindsay, and
that's what I was getting to, yeah.
Rant on the hair.
Taker's hair, it's a fucking plague. Grow it back, Punk! Please grow it back! I liked it where he slicked it back. It made him look more, especially as a heel, it made him look more sleazy. It'd be awesome. But no, he had to cut it off, and you know everybody at THQ was going, God damn it!
We have this whole marketing campaign, and now you screwed it up. Damn you, Punk.
Yeah, THQ only knows it's only pixels. They can fix it.
What do you think, Mace?
Yeah, it was a good promo. I quite enjoyed it. It was pretty much the only part of Raw I got to see before I had to run off for a couple of hours. But yeah, that seemed to set things up, but at the same time, they could have cut it off a bit early. They should have cut it off when Punk left the ring instead of playing Jerry's music and letting him, you know, I'll think about it. No, you cut it off when Punk leaves the ring. It leaves a great big speculation. Then when you come back from commercial, you have Lawler, you know, beef it up a bit. You know, play off it and go, you know, I'm thinking about it. I might do it.
Which builds
suspense.
Which they did throughout the show.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wasn't around for that part of the show, remember?
I have to agree with Mace on this one that Jerry going, getting up, and, you know, you think, oh, he's going to come up with a great response. I'll think about it. What the fuck, dude? No. Just have Jerry get out of the ring.
No, you don't even have him get... the way it should have ended was him just standing in the ring.
Flaring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because then you did him going out of the ring during the break, but yeah.
Okay, well, if there's a curse now, because apparently, you know, Taker, Kaz, Punk, we're not going to speak of who can get and set is next, but apparently it's now the Lindsay curse, so who do I really hate that I wouldn't mind seeing go bald? I'm going to have to think on this, and then I will say I like them just to see them go bald. Anyway, continue.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Bite me.
Okay. Anyway, sorry about your damn luck. And, well, we should say that about Jack Swagger, because his luck has run out.
He's hit the bottom of the barrel, man.
He took on Ryback tonight, and God, this was a train wreck.
I saw Ryback come out, and I got up and went to grab something to eat because I cannot stand to watch him, and I came back about halfway through, which is, you know, it was only like, what, a 3 or 4 minute match, but yeah.
It was a 2 minute match, yeah. It was a 2 minute match.
It was, oh God, it was just, yeah. Was a fail.
Did you see the spot out of the corner, the back body drop?
Yes, where he dropped Swagger on his damn head.
All right, first off, Swagger runs in the corner like he's running into the ropes. He doesn't go, you know, back first into the corner, which is what you're supposed to do, right, Mace?
I didn't see the spot, so I'm not quite sure what you're trying to explain.
When you get Irish whipped into the corner, you go back first.
Technically you go shoulders first in the
but
top
turnbuckle.
You
go shoulder first, but and you land.
That's how it's supposed to look. It's supposed to look like you go back first,
right?
But really, you're going shoulders first in the
top. Well, all he did was go shoulder first and bounce off it like a rope, and then he took a back body drop and he got almost dropped right on his head.
Okay, if he's throwing himself that hard into the corner to make it look like that, then he's selling the power of Ryback.
No, it wasn't telling the power of Ryback. It was just terrible. Because they mistimed the entire match. It was just bad.
Yeah, it was... Okay, everybody, if you watched Impact Thursday, think of the gut check match. This was just as bad as that, if not worse. It was that badly timed.
So, because they tried... Ryback tried throwing Swagger in the corner at one point, and he completely, like, was 5 feet away from it. So, you know, it was an awful match. It was one of those nights where you go, what the fuck are they doing?
Fucking hell, everybody I hate is already bald. Damn it! Can you?
Like,
Heath Slater! He can go bald!
No. Fan of the one man rock.
I adore him.
You squeal.
Yeah, yeah. He just, you know, grinds my gears so well. Anyway, moving on.
I don't know where to go.
Go to the next match. Go to the next part of the show.
Actually, I was stalling.
Why?
Because I'm showing me something.
Well, if you show Mace, you have to show me. You know, this
no,
is,
I'm showing him.
Share.
I'm showing him. I found the spot for him so he can see what we were talking about. That's all. So, yeah.
And Kane Kittens is begging you to clip that.
Really? You want that clip? I don't know if that's clip worthy. It's just funny, but it's not clip worthy. But yeah, anyway, as Mace watches that, Ryback won a match.
Oh, okay, I see what you're...
Yeah, you see what I'm saying now?
Yeah, that's on Swagger. That's a fuck up.
Yeah, that's what when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, he fucked that up.
Yeah, that's on Swagger.
So yeah, Ryback won. No surprise. They continue the hype that Triple H might possibly hang up his boots tonight. Cole then tried to get an answer from Jerry Lawler about, you know, facing CM Punk, and he's still thinking about it. Up next, well, was what we all hoped was going to be an awesome segment. Natalya returns to Monday Night Raw to take on Layla.
I was actually looking forward to this.
And then Vicky Guerrero showed up.
And that killed it.
They were more focused on Vicky than the actual match, which, if you actually paid attention to the match, wasn't half bad.
It wasn't half bad. It wasn't the best I've ever seen, but for a Divas match, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, Layla dancing in the ring and doing her little backup butt drop or whatever the hell it is, that can go, but other than that, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, you know, I was pleased to see Natty on Raw, and, well... Vicky Guerrero basically said she has an announcement, so get this match over with, because, you know, this better be quick.
Yeah, and her standing there the entire time looking pissed just was distracting from it. By the way, for Jersey Girl, I like Kelly Kelly. There, she can go ball too. Anyway, sorry.
Now that's a clip. Anyway. I like Kelly Kelly. Clip. Anyway.
Yeah, with a sarcastic tone and all.
Anyway,
he's done worse. He's got clips of me actually praising Ken Anderson.
You know what? He's got the ultimate clip of me. Not even worried. Don't care.
Yeah, but we don't play that clip.
Well, you can play it, just not when I'm around.
Oh, but that clip is so awesome. No?
Anyway, what happened on Raw?
Yeah, moving on.
Layla won. And then Vicky Guerrero basically talked about why and complained about the contract being on the line last week. You don't complain about something, you know, when the person you manage actually won. But she complained about having the briefcase on the line last week and then bragged about Dolph Ziggler retiring Chris Jericho. She called AJ putting Dolph's contract on the line unfair and called for the board of directors to remove the mentally deranged child from the position of power. And, you know, put someone more adult in charge, which, well, sure enough, brought out AJ, who skipped to the ring and, well, looked like she was going to talk, but instead slapped the living hell out of Vicky Guerrero and then started to beat her up for a minute.
Which was awesome. Absolutely fucking awesome. Even though some people out there felt it was an abuse of power and she should be on her way out. Just FYI, she's not the first GM and she won't be the last to smack the crap out of somebody and beat them up.
How many times did Vince beat up people?
How many times did John Laurinaitis do it? How many times did Hunter do it? How many times did Steph?
How many times did Bischoff do it? It's like, isn't that what the GMs do?
It's a standard quo for the GM. You abuse your power and you beat up people. The fact of the matter is just AJ slapped the hell out of somebody and beat up Vicky, which nobody really likes.
So yeah, that made it all worth it at the end. AJ beating up Vicky.
Although, I still feel that they could have had Vicky come out after the Divas match and not have just treated it so trivially.
Mm-hmm.
Can't talk. It cheapened it really to just a degree that it's like, why did you even do it? You should have, if you wanted Vicky out there, have Vicky out there and do the segment with AJ.
Right.
Don't have her come out when a Divas match is getting ready to go, stand there, look there impatiently, cut to her during the match, and then have her get in the ring and dismiss the Divas champion to cut a pretty much pointless promo other than for a cheap pop of AJ slapping Vicky. It just...
Yeah, I know. It takes away from what they're trying to do with the women, but again,
either do something with the division or get rid of it, folks. But don't keep yo-yoing with it. Make up your mind what you want to do with it, and then go forward with it, please.
We had a video package of Triple H's greatest DX moments. You know, piping up he's retiring tonight. Then we had our first anger management segment. You know, Daniel Bryan was there. They said, someone else will show up later. We're going to get started, but someone else will be late. You know. In walked the kid with a goat face mask. And then Daniel Bryan kind of lost it.
I giggled through this whole thing.
It turned out the therapist kid, he had a goat mask because he's in a Noah's Ark play.
Which I actually thought was a pretty cute cover. It's like, alright, that's kind of creative other than the kid has mental problems. It's, no, he's playing a goat in Noah's Ark. God, the Mormons are getting to me. Shit.
the first of three anger management segments. Started off the night. They went back to talking more about anger management. It's, you know, as they fade to black. I was impressed by this segment.
Oh, it was cleverly done.
It was. Michael Cole then brought up a tweet from CM Punk, and he tried to, prod Jerry Lawler on for a decision later on the night. Lawler took on the mic and told everyone that, you know, he talked about the likes of superstar Billy Graham, Dutch Mantel, all the nobodies he beat down in Tennessee that he beat back in A. Lawler said, you don't get into Hall of Fame in WWE unless you stand up for what is yours. He said he knows he's not the best in the world, but neither is Punk. He said he will fight CM Punk tonight.
And no one was shocked.
Right. Though what they're doing with Punk tonight was kind of awesome, but we'll get more of that a little later because it all plays in.
Yeah.
Up next at 8:50... Yes, 8:50, John Cena had a match.
Somebody check the temperature in hell.
As it was John Cena versus The Miz.
Oh, wow, that's such a real bond burner these days.
Actually, it wasn't half bad.
Yeah, they had a pretty good match. All things, you know, pretty good match. John Cena, of course, beat the Intercontinental Champion because that's establishing champion right there.
Yeah, make Miz look really strong right there.
Just pointing it out. Yeah, so John Cena wins, though he wrestled at 8:50, but, you know, 3 hours. They put him on different times. Anyway, Cole then talked about there's our Raw active poll of the night. And no, it wasn't the same match three different times.
They actually listened and put three different steps up, which I was very proud, personally. It's like, well done, folks, well done.
You had a no DQ, you had a tables match, and of course, a steel cage match.
Punk in a cage. Oh wait, Lil Alder's in there too, never mind.
they then went back to group the anger management therapy. Someone named Harold was telling a story that Daniel Bryan couldn't care about. He complained about, you know, AJ, Kane. Daniel Bryan said he didn't see how it could get any worse. And then, well, the therapist got a text message from Kane. And he walked in the door.
Which I very promptly squeed. Because it's... And now it's picking up. And what does Kane do? Rock?
He sits down. That's all he did.
I know!
That's all he did. He sat down. With his, you know, metal mask on.
The type of thing you want to wear to therapy.
The welder's mask. He just sits there wearing it.
Yeah, he came in full gimmick.
Elbow pads, welder's mask, sat right next down to Daniel Bryan. And everyone was scared.
No shit.
Yeah, sorry. I was distracted. Tim sent me an IM. Sorry.
Tim!
Tim, you should know better.
He asked a question about Raw.
Well, if he wants to ask a question about Raw, he should call into the fucking show and ask a question.
It was a pointless question. Anyway, up next, we had a Heath Slater match. He took on...
I'm sure everybody needed the toilet break.
He took on Santino Marella.
Definitely needed the toilet break.
And a very horny cobra,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, it's a very horny cobra.
Which I'll save the hand job joke for later. Anyway, go on.
You make it hard to continue sometimes. Anyway.
It's true!
I know. You know, they had a match, and then Santino was setting up for the Cobra, and then out walked Oksana, and the Cobra got, well, erected. And couldn't turn away.
It was a little stiff.
It was.
He was having a hard time controlling it.
You know what?
What?
I will actually congratulate WWE because it took them how long since they did the whole Cobra gimmick with Santino to actually turn it into a penis jerk.
Yeah, it's taken him a while. I'll give him that.
The Cobra is in love. And, yeah. Accidentally, he hit the Cobra on Heath Slater, and, yeah, Santino won.
And then the Cobra dragged him back up the ramp, which all I can tell Oksana is watch out for that thumb. They can be tricky.
By the way, check out Saturday Morning Super... Saturday Morning Something About Slam. The kids show. Featuring Santino on commentary.
Oh, God, that just... I actually watched that last night, and I'm like... I don't know a kid alive that watched this shit.
I heard it was bad.
It was bad. They had a segment of... Brodus Clay teaching people how to do his little dance.
They did. That was the start of
it
the show.
It was too bad.
Bringing the funky dactyls.
They did. And why would you bring in the strippers on a goddamn kids show?
Because it's a kids show.
And seriously, it wasn't even like they were trying any camera tricks to try and make it look better. No, they had straight up shots of the camera panning from the feet to the ass, straight on the tits. Cause, you know, for kids.
Well, you know, when they get to the tits, that will remind them, oh hey, I'm hungry for breakfast.
Not those, unless they like eating plastic. But then again, it's kids. Yeah, they usually do eat plastic.
Yeah.
So, and the only complaint I had about it was they were blurring out shirts.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Lots of, if you actually notice
during the match too, they bled out the ring apron.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because they don't want people, the kids going to WWE.com.
Yeah. Unless you have parents' permission.
So, why don't you get a special ring apron for it that doesn't have all that on it?
Because this was probably thrown together in 10 minutes.
And it will last that long, too.
No, it'll probably last a long time, because they're probably getting a lot of money for it.
Oh, dear. I'm scared now.
Anyway, back to Monday Night Raw. Shifting back. They showed us how to use the new WWE app.
Yeah!
Anyway, Damian Sandow came out and cut a promo that he found.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't work out how to use it in like 2 seconds.
Same here.
Yeah. Yeah, we played around with it off last week's show. It's like, so this is what it is.
By the way, if you download it, it's a battery hog. Just warning you now.
But Mace, there are some morons out there ask, does Skype work on a desktop? So you know. Anyway.
How do you look into email? Can I get email on my computer?
Damien
if you turn it on, you dumb fuck.
Damien Sandow cut a brief promo talking about, you know, it was a miracle. He found someone in WWE he can actually have an intelligent conversation with, and that would be his tag team partner for the night, Cody Rhodes. As we got Brutus Clay and Sin Cara taking on Damien Sandow and Cody Rhodes.
I heart this team.
Sorry, distracted.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you, Omega.
Yeah, Omega's okay to distract. Okay.
Go to tfairy.com. Look at the shirt. It's awesome.
It is. So they had a match. They bury Cody Rhodes some more.
It's Cody Rhodes. I think people stopped giving a shit.
Actually, I think with Sandow it helps because it's a good teaming.
Yeah, I know. No, it was good teaming, but having him take the loss, it was kind of... The heel should have won.
They should have, but...
Omega. Distracting, Omega. Distracting.
Damn it, I can't look at porn and do the show at the same time if you're sending me this shit.
Thoughts on the match, though? Lindsay?
I like the team. Stick Regal with them, and I will be totally happy.
So, yeah, Brutus Clay and Sin Cara defeated Sandow and Cody Rhodes. Then, well, we went back to anger management.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to tell the group about yourself?
I'm the devil's favorite demon.
Great. So tell us, Kane, what makes you angry? Please, Kane, we're here to help. So maybe start from your childhood. Remember, sharing is caring.
This is a bad idea. Well, I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles. Years ago, I had a girlfriend named Katie. But let's just say that didn't turn out so well. My real father is a guy named Paul Bearer, who I recently trapped in a meat locker. I've been married, divorced, broke up my ex-wife's wedding and tombstoned the priest. And for reasons never quite explained, I have an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose.
Okay. Maybe we should call it a day. Next week, I want you to all practice expressing your anger in a healthy, creative way. So I'd like you all to make an anger collage. Okay? See you next time.
anger collage? What the hell is an anger collage? Wait, is this therapy or is this arts and crafts? Are you even a real doctor? Come on, look like Mr. Rogers with cheap sweater and horrible pants.
Thank you for sharing, Kane.
No problem, Harold.
I lost it in this segment. I was laughing so goddamn hard.
Where do we begin?
I want to make that goddamn collage.
Oh, that's going to be my project after the show, by the way. I have an idea.
Do I get to help?
Yes.
Sweet.
It's going to be fun. Anyway, first off, he was wearing a name tag.
I know.
Second, he brought up his former girlfriend named Katie.
The whole thing, I think, I forget who tweeted it on Twitter, but that entire promo sums up about 15 years or however long he's been in the WWE worth of storylines and ties them up in a minute.
It did.
And it was the actual backstory, which I loved.
We got a Shane McMahon testicle reference. We got a mention of weddings and, you know, Pete Rose. And
Katie Vick.
Katie Vick. And we got everything.
Lita.
Lita. He buried, you know, I buried my brother twice.
That was great. I want to know how many times they had to shoot that for him to get through that straight face, stone cold like he did. Because he was sitting there, and if you look at him, he's actually smirking while he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But just to do it in that even tone the whole time was awesome.
What do you think, Mace?
I believe that the general idea of our reaction to this segment was, I want to have this promo as babies.
That started with Omega. He needed the ovaries to do it.
He can have mine.
He wanted to make...
It was... This was awesome. It was funny. It was creative. It had... It brought all the storylines and everything of Kane into this one gigantic segment of awesome.
This...
It worked so well, and fuck you haters.
This, I'm sorry, this segment right here stole the fucking show.
It did.
Just for the situation and then the promo alone, it took Kane to a whole other level.
Kane was the show stealer tonight.
We'll get into that. We'll get into more of him later, but...
We can go on and on for this, but... We're not going to stay here for 5 hours talking about it, because we'll do that after the show. Up next, we had R-Truth with Kofi Kingston and Little Jimmy take on Daniel Bryan. This match ended with, you know, Daniel Bryan, you know, first it started with Daniel Bryan coming down to the ring all zen. The anger management was working. And, well, then the fans started getting on him, and, well, he started chanting at the fans. And got counted out.
Yeah.
Now, the other subplot to this was R-Truth. And them referencing his screw-up from last year. Which I found hysterical.
Well, it was great, because Punk pointed it out on Twitter... And then they pointed it out on the show.
It was great. I know Mace missed this match. I know where Mace comes back for, which is up next. So, yeah. R-Truth won via countout. We had more Triple H moments. And then we had the Triple H promo.
Please don't play his...
I didn't clip the audio.
Thank you.
Triple H talked about he's at the crossroads of his career. He said he wished he could come out basically to tell he was, you know, still the King of the Kings, still the man, and he would kick Brock Lesnar's ass, but he wasn't sure if he could do that. He never wanted to be the guy. He wanted to retire before he was forced to do so, and, you know, he didn't want to be that guy who came out there for the paycheck, for the nostalgia pop, etc., etc. And by the way, he was selling the left arm, which he broke during the match, but the internet said he broke the right arm. I'm just pointing that out. Check your facts, internet. But yeah, the fans chanted for Triple H, and he said, am I done? He has a no. And, you know, he thanked the fans. As the fans chanted, thank you, Triple H, you can do it. That basically sums it up, and I'll let Mace go.
Hypocrite. God damn fucking hypocrite. He goes on about not being that guy. About that, you know, the old war horse who's, you know, doing one more match to get a nostalgia pop and a paycheck. You took the main event at fucking SummerSlam and you've had two Raws dedicated to you. You, sir, are a fucking hypocrite. You're pointing out your own flaws like an idiot, but not acknowledging it. You're trying to make yourself out to be something bigger, but you're not. Just fucking retire if you're going to retire. If you're not going to retire, then start building the fucking rematch against Brock Lesnar. Don't jerk us around with this I don't know bullshit. Because if people buy it, I've got a fucking bridge to sell all of yous.
Lindsay?
Lindsay.
Sorry, I'm on mute. My bad. Mine isn't as, I guess, eloquent or deep, but I said it on Twitter, which was, I think, about halfway through the show, where they were airing the greatest moments of Triple H. And before I go into this, when Triple H does retire, because this is not it, folks, he deserves every accolade. He does. And he deserves all the tributes in the world. But the fact of the matter is they dedicated all last week to him, acting like he was dead. They dedicated the majority of the show this week to him playing his top 10 greatest hits throughout the show. And I'm sitting there watching this, and they keep referencing it, and it's, you know what, if he walks out here and he doesn't retire, I'm going to be fucking pissed. And what does he do? He walks out. He gives an emotional speech, which was kind of half-assed until the end, where he finally was able to manage to cry, and gives us an I don't know. 2 weeks of that BS, and we get an I don't know. If you're going to give that, do it the night after. Have Triple H walk out, give that emotional speech after he's been beat up, you gimmick him up so he's got a black eye, he's cut up, broken arm in a cast, and he says, you know, Brock Lesnar walloped me, and he walloped me good. I don't know. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know. Rather than tonight, where he's out there doing that, he's just got the broken arm. He looks fine. And you're sitting there, and the entire time I'm watching this, I'm waiting for somebody to walk out and give him that pep talk and go, you can do it, Hunter. Don't give up. You can do it. Whether it's Sean, whether it's Vince, whether it's Stephanie, whether it's Taker, whether it's Heath Slater.
You know who would have been good in that role?
Who?
The Nature Boy.
Woo! Ric Flair.
No, then we're talking the ultimate fucking hypocrite there.
Yeah.
Well, then that would have tied into the whole thing, but I think Ric Flair would have worked.
But yeah, I mean, it's... The point is you're waiting for that moment, because Hunter's... Because the whole time he's sitting there, and he's stalling in the promo, and you can tell. He was stalling about, I would say, a third to a halfway through it point, I guess. You see Hunter start to stall.
Well, they had time to fill the half 3 hours.
I know, but it's, you know, it the promo was off, and I don't know whether he was coming up with it off the top of his head. I'm pretty sure he was. And he walked out there, and he really didn't know what he was going to say. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing, and just, it felt off, it looked off, and it didn't feel legit. Because you know it's not legit.
He tried. He tried his best. And it would have been more effective last week. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, this week it was, for what he tried to do, I commend him for it. But it's not the real moment. It's not that moment where, like it was with Sean.
Right.
That was the last big retirement we got.
Right. I'm gonna segue this into a shill for Thursday. We're gonna have a user submitted little fantasy booking on Thursday. One of our listeners will be sending in a little bit of booking of how they would handle what's next for Triple H heading into Survivor Series, possibly a little. Team Hunter versus Team Lesnar?
Possibly.
A couple of people brought that up, including one listener, and...
What? An actual Survivor Series match at Survivor Series?
Yeah.
No!
Oh, no. Never worked.
But we're going to have that...
I'm sorry, good attempt to whoever sent that in, but nah, it'll never work.
But we'll have that, for hopefully Thursday for the rec. They're working on writing it up and sending it in, so we'll see.
Who sent it in?
We're going to have Wrestling Fanatic is putting the piece together.
Oh, thank you, Wrestling Fanatic.
Yeah, so he was one of the two people that brought it up to me. One of our listeners in Sweden was also bringing that idea up, Team Lesnar versus Team Hunter.
Yay, Sweden!
See, we're global. We New Zealand, a New Zealander and someone from Sweden, so. You know.
I don't know who you are, person in Sweden, but if you could send me Prince Carl Philip in a box, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
So yeah, we'll probably talk about that Thursday on the rack.
You and you're sending people in boxes. Do you realize how much freight that's going to cost?
It's not like I can fly over and get him.
It'd be cheaper.
Not by much.
It's too cheaper.
She's researched.
Plus, I gotta get him through security.
I'm quite sure he comes with his own security clearances. I think it'd be easier to get him through security than anything else.
Not if he's drugged.
He just partied too hard, like Prince Philip.
Prince Philip?
Oh, was it Harry?
Prince Harry.
One of those two
Prince Harry,
It was one of those two British retards. As you can tell, I'm not exactly a monarchist. I could give a fuck less about the royal family.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on.
No, fuck it. okay, let's move on.
Because out came Y2J... No, wait. No, it was Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler came
out. Because Vicky was too busy.
Yes.
She was filing complaints to the board of directors.
Or something like that. Dolph Ziggler teamed with Alberto Del Rio to take on Sheamus and Randy Orton. Sheamus hit the bro kick on Ziggler to pick up the win. You know, they did a whole bit with the briefcase, and you know, I don't get what they're doing with Ziggler, but I'm not gonna go there tonight. Thoughts?
No, considering you can go there Sunday night
or Thursday night
or Saturday night,
Friday night or Thursday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday. Anyway.
You do too many nights here, Rock.
No, right. Anyway.
Remember when you only had one show on this network?
I know. Sheamus and Randy Orton win. It was a match. Not bad. Not great.
honestly, after the whole Triple H bit, I really didn't give two fucks about this match.
Mace?
Yeah, they seriously... That whole segment just sort of sucked the life out of whatever was coming next.
Well, what came next was something good.
Well, after the match, yeah.
Yeah.
But the match itself was just...
It was a throwaway. Basically,
yeah. They could have put on anything. They could have had the Divas do a naked battle royal in the ring, and nobody would have given a shit.
Well, I think people would have given a shit if that happened. Anyway, backstage, Jerry Lawler instructed John Cena not to interfere and let him fight his fight in the ring tonight.
There's a lot of that going around lately.
Oh no, because he has to do it. He's not doing it for John Cena. He's doing it for himself.
Aww.
Stay out of my shit, John Cena.
Then, well, Josh Matthews was at commentary. Chris King was, you know, getting ready for his match. Who came out? None other than Kane.
And he made a beeline for the commentator, and Josh Matthews promptly shit himself and ran away.
Because Kane was the guest commentator for Zack Ryder versus David Otunga.
Epic.
This is where Kane stole the show yet again. And in a way, he saved the show.
He just sat there, said nothing. Zack Ryder actually won a match with the Rough Rider. Dan Kane goes right for Zack Ryder, but no, he's using his anger management. Let him go. And then chokeslams David Otunga.
I keep telling people, and they don't listen to me, that Kane chokeslamming you is him hugging. It's a sign of affection. It's only
Finish.
Go.
It's only if he lights you on fire afterwards that you have to worry.
See, now I had one great, like, laugh moment at this segment, because straight after East Choke Slam, then quite a few people are jumping up and down saying, Kane's gone soft! Yeah, fuck off, haters. You look at Kane, and he looks at Ryder, and he just shrugs, and is like, I still got the Choke Slam, somebody.
I know. Well, you know, you can only kill Zack Ryder so many times before it just gets old.
True. They announced that the main event will be a steel cage match. AJ came in and announced that CM Punk would be going up against her choice, John Cena, at Night of Champions. CM Punk made a tweet. I am the new king of Memphis, Tennessee. I knocked out Lawler last week, and I'm going to knock him out again. Which kind of sounded familiar.
I'm going to sing you a little song. Oh, I'm the king. Oh, I'm the king. I'm the new king of Memphis, Tennessee. I knocked that Lawler out last week. I'm going to knock him out again. Yeah, I'm the king of Tennessee. I'm the king of wrestling, Tennessee. I knocked that Lawler out. I'm going to knock him out again. Yeah, I'm the black dude. You need to move on now.
I love Andy Kaufman.
CM Punk was channeling.
He was channeling tonight.
It was awesome.
It really was. And he was
it
even
sold it perfectly.
And he was even singing it during the match.
Yes.
Yes. Again, that's how you sell the gimmick. It is awesome.
And if you pick it out from his promos, the way he was saying Jerry Lawler was just the same way Andy Kaufman does it.
He did his homework.
He really did. He did a he said it the same way last week too, and it clicked. And he mentioned on Twitter that he was paying respect to Andy Kaufman. And he was doing it again tonight, so kind of awesome. So yeah, this brought up our main event: CM Punk and Jerry Lawler in a cage. We had blood.
We did.
Lawler did his comeback, you know. Oh, he also gave him the first shot as well. We should mention Lawler got the first shot in.
Yeah, big mistake. Never ever give Lawler the first shot. The dude still has the best punches in wrestling.
CM Punk locked in the Anaconda Vice, forcing Jerry Lawler to tap out. CM Punk then grabbed the mic and a chain and a lock from outside, walked back in the ring, locked the cage, and then locked in, you know, was basically trying to get Jerry Lawler to say that he is the best in the world. Lawler said, hell no. And then he started beating the crap out of him. Punk demanded Lawler to say he was the best in the world. He continued to decline. Then Punk continued his assault. Out came John Cena and was yelling for the cage to be raised. Punk continued his assault. Cena was still, get the cage up! Get the cage up! And while the cage gets up, CM Punk leaves. Gets booed.
I had no problem with this. It was a good ending. It's just one of those things that makes Punk look like a big douchebag heel, which is what they're trying to get across.
And the perfect person to work with to do that is Jerry Lawler. Just people who actually care. No, we'll get to that later. So, yeah, it was a great way to finish the show. CM Punk walks off. Best in the world.
Damn right.
Yeah, this was the perfect way to end it. And they actually built it throughout the show, which was amazing.
I know, right? It was an interesting 3 hours of Raw, then.
They must have slapped around the monkeys that have been working on Raw for the last couple of weeks.
Because this was better. It was paced better. There was a lot of stuff that dragged, but it was paced better than the previous weeks. Which is good.
It was.
Which is good. It needed to be paced better. It didn't feel like 3 hours. It felt long, but it didn't feel like 3 hours. They're going back in the right direction. Yeah.
They're finally getting a handle on this 3 hour shit.
Yeah, about time. And you knew it would take them a few weeks to get a handle on it. But that's okay. So yeah, overall, want it graded or something? I don't know.
It was a good show. Can't be fucked really grading it at all, but yeah, it was a good show. It was better than the crap we've had to put up with for the last couple of weeks.
I would have to agree. I mean, I would have to say just because I'm biased as hell, the Kane segments really saved the show for me.
Now, let's see, where can we go now? Oh, right, Mace. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I happen to be going to a WWE house show this weekend.
Wait, what?
You lucky bastard, yeah. You.
Yeah. And that's not the end of it or the best of it, to be honest.
I thought going to a WWE house show would be the best news of the week.
It would, just except, you know, my friend Anthony's got a backstage pass, the prick.
Oh, but prick.
So he one-ups me. Bastard.
Bastard.
However, I do get my own little mark-out moment on the same day.
Oh?
I just happened to enter a competition run by GameSpot to go to their preview afternoon for WWE 13.
Oh, really?
Now this doesn't really come as a surprise to anybody, considering I've already previewed the damn thing. Hopefully, I'm hoping this is probably closer to the end product than what I initially got my hands on, considering they've now done the full roster reveal. So hopefully it means full access to roster arenas, the very near what's called taking the product gold. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'll be able to test it out. The main draw of this whole thing has to do with this guy. He's the best in the world, holds a big gold belt. So very straight edge sounding guy.
So you're meaning Antonio Cesaro?
Yeah, totally.
The Miz. No. The Miz. You're going to say The Miz.
John Cena? Oh, wait, no. He doesn't
have a belt. You're going to see, what's his name? R-Truth and Little Jimmy.
Sheamus!
Yes.
Yeah, no, but I want the Little Jimmy action figure.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
That's a great action figure.
No. It's this guy, he's been recently going on about respect. We saw him in a cage match recently.
Huh.
Did he recently butcher his hair?
He did indeed.
You're going to get to meet Punk?
Indeed.
Oh, you lucky bastard, you. I hate you. Drop dead so I can have your spot.
Hey, look, if you had enough money to fly down here, I could have taken you as my plus one.
Oh.
But you'd have to get down here by Saturday.
Let's see. Cheap fares to Australia.
So, yes, CM Punk is giving a little bit of a presentation and doing a meet and greet for this event, considering he's in town for the house show. So more than likely, I'll probably get to do the whole fan thing of, like, I'll probably get to ask him questions, get an autograph, get a photo with the guy. You know, all that type of stuff. If I'm able to, I'm going to try and get a bumper from him for the network. I'm going to try, but believe me, as I found out with AJ's handle, it's fucking hard. So... yeah, I get to meet CM Punk on Saturday.
Will you tell him I want to have his kittens?
No.
No.
I will congratulate him on channeling Andy Kaufman, though. But yes, what they did is they turn around with the competition. They said, you can ask a question during this presentation with CM Punk, but you had to submit it beforehand. So I've submitted two questions just in case one's a little bit more risque than the other. But hopefully when I actually get the chance to ask him, then I can, you know, mention the Andy Kaufman thing and all that type of stuff. And yeah. So this is going to be an interesting weekend for me.
I can't wait to hear about it.
And we'll probably hear about it Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Indeed.
Because, you know, we're probably hosting all that. Three of us with Omega.
Wait, Omega didn't get pulled to Oz?
No, Omega's still alive, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, Omega's still alive.
So.
Yeah.
Full recap Sunday on WTR Sunday night.
Yeah, which means I'm gonna have to probably sit there with my phone or my iPad or something and take notes on the matches.
You're going to be a journalist.
Oh, good lord.
You can live tweet from the house show.
Man, you know, once upon a time I used to be this little retard idiot on a fucking podcast. Now all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to game previews, doing information stuff for game companies, and now I'm meeting wrestlers left, right, and center, and... you know, doing write-ups on house shows.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, how the fuck did I get here?
I don't know.
Remember when we used to be this little nothing podcast that nobody's fucking heard of?
You remember when we used to be fans in a chat room?
Yeah. Close there.
What? That was
like seriously, like I haven't mentioned this before, but this past weekend when I was at the Melbourne Anime Festival, I was talking with a guy from a Nintendo blog, and I mentioned I do a podcast at wildtalkradio.com, and he actually said, "Oh yeah, I know the site." I'm sitting there going,
"Huh?
Oh, what?
What?
Yeah, I've seen them mentioned a few times by THQ, and I checked it out and everything, so I gave him a business card." And,
See?
We're getting out there, man.
Who says our little corner of the internet means fucking nothing?
We're kind of a big deal, you know. Kind of a big deal, just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're the new big deal on Monday nights. Unlike some show that you have to pay $4.99 for.
I was going to say, I mean, you get us for free.
Exactly. Shut it all. Anyway, shall we end the show and plug shit? And
yeah, go ahead, plug everything.
Get the fuck out of here.
Go plug everything.
What day are we again?
Today's Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Monday! So that means Tuesday is the show I formerly was on, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. tomorrow night, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Number 75 on the PWI, top 500. Fulton's name again?
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole joins Alan Wojcik and Spug Get Me the Hell Out of Here Guy.
You know,
the Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night is Jaegers and the cheap wood paneling and all that other fun stuff. Whenever the hell they're on, because I don't know their time.
8:30 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Joining us an hour after Impact goes off the air, Lindsay Ward in a fabulous rack. Along with Rock and myself.
Yeah. Tune in for Impact, tune in for Wrestling Fanatics, Peace, and all the news that's fit to print, and some that's not.
Plus, Tweet of the Week, which is our favorite segment, and all that other fun and frivolity. Friday night... I have no fucking idea.
Friday night we all get drunk. That's our night off.
Woo! Drunk! Yeah, baby!
That's when we drunk dial Rock's voicemail.
The Rock wishes we drunk dial his voicemail more often. Because then he turns it into commercials.
No,
or he plays it Saturday night around midnight-ish on CB Radio.
I don't need people to drunk dial the voicemail. They just drunk dial my show.
Very, very true. And that brings us around to Sunday night. I believe we're non-pay-per-viewing this week, so it would be 10 p.m. Eastern right here on wildtalkradio.com. The flagship show, the show that started it all, WrestleTalk Radio, where we'll be talking through most of the news and informations of the week, plus whatever the hell we didn't cover on the rack and tonight. Plus, obviously, my adventures on Saturday, where everybody gets to be jealous of me for 5 minutes. And then we bring it all back around again, right here at the Raw Post Show, straight after Raw. You should know where it is. You're listening to it. If you're not listening to it, well, then you're not hearing my voice. It's logical.
It is.
Last thing I want to plug... WTR Riffs, keep an eye out because we're going to Japan, people, the land of what the fuck, which is going to be absolutely fun because, believe me, I found some absolutely primo clips for us to go through. Also, The Avengers is out on Blu-ray and DVD. Go pick it up now.
I'm getting it
no
Friday.
Bullshit. Go.
Getting
go
it
now.
Friday. I have no money.
Yeah, I know. I got to pick up tomorrow. I get paid.
But
so it's The Avengers, goddammit, you fucking should own it and own it on Blu-ray.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Word, at The Mace Things, like WordDesigns.com, WTRProductions.net, CanadianAlpro.com, and of course, PW Main, P, PWMania.com, where you can hear this show and every other show that talks pro wrestling. Get all your news from PWMania.com. We'll see you next week for another edition of the WTRL Post Show live right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And if we forgot anything, go to Google and just type in Wild Talk Radio.
Or just go to WildTalkRadio.com.
Come.